This has been the first opera I ever heard in Milano, in La Scala. I was 14 years old, and I was so touched, so emotional, that I still remember every, even visually, every movement, every emotion, every musical phrase that I heard in La Scala, with the great De Sabata conducting, with Di Stefano, with Carteri, Taio. I remember everything of this production. Then I went home after this performance, and I couldn't sleep in the night, and something worked inside of me, and then I decided, okay, I want to study music. 14 years old is pretty late to study music, but I was so determined that I insisted. My parents said no, because or you are a genius or you will starve as a musician, but I insisted, I made a hunger strike, and then finally they said yes. Okay, this is the main reason. Every time I work on Bohème, I feel that emotion again.
I love Bohème. It was the first opera I ever heard on long playing record. It was the first opera I ever attended in the theatre. It was the first opera I ever directed back in 81. And I love the work so much, I wanted to do it here. But more importantly, I wanted to do it with these singers, because I knew they would be a great combination. I knew that we could make it work together. But also, I'm a little more mature than I was in 81. And I think there are things in this work that I now feel more deeply, and I hope there are some subtleties in the directing that will also impact people as they do me and the rest of the cast. So to me, it's a logical place to be with an opera that I have adored so long, and an opera which is part of our 40th anniversary season. It hit me, you know, come on. Yeah, you... And you go by. So really, you get vigorous with him too. You're half drunk.
Getting to work with Ian on this show in particular, I had done the Tosca with him directing, and that was a blast. We had a really good time. But I think for both of us, Bohème holds a very unique place in how we feel about opera in general. It sort of defines what opera is for us. And so we're having a really good time, and of course he's a tenor, so you know he sees the world through the right colored glasses.
Sometimes it's nice that I actually take her shawl and put it over her head and stay warm.
Can it be done here?
Snow. Oh, come on, honey. You got to stay warm. Bundle up.
On the deep.
That's right.
And then your arm, not hers.
Maestro Müller he stands alone on this repertoire. He is among the best in the world, if not the best in the world, at conducting a singer through this music. It's not just conducting the music, shaping the music, so it's interesting. This is gorgeous music. You could, if it was a symphony, you could shape it 20 different ways. It would be beautiful. It would be absolutely gorgeous. But to shape it for each individual singer, the way that it suits them and suits Puccini, is the real gift and the real talent. And Eduardo he's alone in his ability to do that. He's fantastic.
Do you remember what we did in our rehearsals?
No.
This morning will be all different. But it will be much better. Because before we just read notes, and that's the moment to make music with them, with the singer. You know, this kind of music is based not only on beautiful tunes, but on colors. And if we respect all what is written, the accents, the crescendo, the colors will come out. Okay? So they are not minor details. It's the base of playing well, this piece.
Good.
For the beginning.
You know, sometimes there's a, just an opera has, this is the way it goes. And he knows the way it goes.
The opera is very rewarding. Very rewarding for singers, for conductors, and for the orchestra too. It is so well written that every player has his own important part. The flute has something different from the celli. The celli has something different from the bassoons. And for this reason, there is a great involvement. Every orchestra in the world loves to play Bohème.
Then you come in behind to correct what
you
said.
You think the first one, though, also is together, though, still?
I see, because what you said, intimate.
Yeah.
And now you start to press the bottom.
Right.
Good, keep going.
Having Richard, I then needed a soprano with a larger voice than one usually hears in American Mimis. And balance is what it's all about. So when I heard Fabiano audition about 3.5 years ago, I knew I had the voice. And this can be both arms. Because what's up on the screen is lots of distresses that I rhymed with caresses. So that can come in and...
You know, Mimi is a character that even that Puccini in the music and in the score write everything, we don't know too much about it. We don't know who are her parents, we don't know from where she come from, we don't know how old is she. For that is the homework of the singer and the actor to portray your own Mimi, no? For that, my Mimi, and at that time, I think she's maybe 17, 18 years old. I think she's orphan. And she have this great passion about flowers and is what she do to living. She is very poor, you know, she live with only the necessary. But she have more than material things, because she really appreciate the beauty of everything, you know. Not only the beauty that she found making her flowers, isn't the beauty about, you know, to describe the day and the beauty of everything, the simple things. For that, Mimi have this big heart, very great sensibility, and that is what make her so special, because it's a simple person with a simple life, and it's a simple story. For that, I love the character of Mimi, because it's something that have to come from your heart, have to come from the admiration of the simple things in life. For that is Mimi for me. It's a very simple, lovely, and caring character.
Thank you.
Rodolfo is this normal guy. He's you and me, and you know, we often are asked, are you able to find in a character something of yourself? Is that how you act? And it does depend on the opera and the character, because, you know, axe murderers, you hope you don't find too much of yourself in them. But with Rodolfo, he's this sort of normal guy who's a bit poetic, which I like to think I am a little poetic as well. And so he embraces life in that way. But through the opera, in his life, he encounters these things that surprise him, among them falling in love with Mimi. And learning to deal with terrible things like Mimi's illness. They are elements of just that enter his life and take him by surprise. What's amazing is Puccini has set this character in a way that just lets you unravel this, and it develops right before your eyes. The curtain comes up, and you just sort of wander through the life of Rodolfo in this period of time. And it really makes it pretty satisfying. In Act 3, Rodolfo finds himself in this odd place. It's really uncharted for him. He's displayed some jealousy and, you know, gets mad at Mimi for no reason. So he comes on with all this bravura and telling Marcello, you know, oh, she's this, she's that, she flirts, she's pretty useless, you know, we're just going to split up, it's no good. And he calls him on it, being his best friend, knowing him like a book. And he calls him on it. He says, you are lying. You have all of these things, and it's all for a reason. You're lying to yourself. And he finally is able to say it. And just like a good therapist, Marcello brought it out of him. And he says, you're right. You're right.
It's funny because Marcello starts off being, you know, a shoulder to cry on and very sympathetic, and then he turns around and he's very stern with Rodolfo and tells him to change his tune, so to speak, in regards to Rodolfo's jealousy, and so he's very stern with his friend. And then, of course, 2 seconds later, Marcello turns around and displays the same temperament as that Rodolfo just displayed towards Mimi. And so it's just typical, you know, wears his emotions on his sleeve, and well, that's opera, I guess. And Puccini does a very wonderful job of taking care of that. It's just all right there in the music, and so it's by that time been used to it, because in the first two, you know, he had the fight with Musette in the second act, and then they made up, and then you have to hit the ground running, so to speak, in the third act, and it's a lot of fun.
Every time you're up the ladder painting the warriors, you're wondering what she's up to.
Yeah.
because she's a flirt. And you get caught up the ladder.
Ute Zellbisch, I've always loved. And this, for her, is a different kind of role from what she has played here previously. She normally plays rather demure young ladies, and here she is able to really lash out in the aria and in the big conflict in Act 3 with Marcello.
There's a game in it, yes. You're teasing all the
she
time.
She knows he is so jealous, and yeah. It for her, it's a game.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, let's
the character of Musetta is a little bit different to those roles which I sing frequently, which are Fiordiligi in Così fan tutte, or let's say Pamina in Magic Flute, or Micaela in Carmen. And it is almost similar to one of my favorite parts. It is Donna Elvira in Don Giovanni, because both characters, Musetta as well as Donna Elvira, need a lot of temperament on stage. I like that. Is a strong person, and she is lively as well as good-natured. She's a singer, and today we would say she's a comedy star or a chansonette or something like that. And she likes to entertain, and she really loves Marcello. Marcello is very jealous, and she always provokes him. And that's kind of a game between them.
One of the richness of Bohème is also this, to use singers with different characters. And then the chorus, don't forget how good is the chorus of San Diego. We don't talk enough of the chorus, but they are really very good. And I heard many, many voices that are individually great, but they are very good with the help of Todd, of blending.
Thank you.
It's an opera of many details, but of a large arch, with a great start and a great end. So I think it's a great libretto, great music. You will have great interpreters, great, great singers, and people will be happy.
Dammi il braccio, mia piccina, non mi dico sì, che mi dì, io tu amore.
You only have to follow everything that he put in the score, and that's it. You don't have to do anything else.
I think we're done.
Okay.
Do you want to do it again?
Oh, no.
Do you want to do it again?